Hello, and welcome to this edition of Patrolling the Channel for July 2009. Patrolling the Channel is a monthly SearchSecurityChannel.com podcast geared toward educating security solution providers. I'm Nicole Damore. Today I'm speaking with Kevin McDonald. Kevin is a recognized technology industry leader and trusted public policy expert. As Executive Vice President of Avaca Networks, he is a primary company spokesperson and leads operational and strategic business development. Kevin is a writer and sought-after presenter on technology, governmental, and corporate cybersecurity and public policy. Today we're going to be talking about the red flag rules, so let's get started. So Kevin, can you give a brief description of the red flag rules?
Okay, so red flags are really an extension of an older law that the Federal Trade Commission, or FTC as it's better known, and it's an extension of those rules to provide consumers in particular with protection from identity theft. So what happened was that the FTC got together with a couple of other organizations and created a new set of rules called the Red Flag Rules. And what they are effectively is a set of rules that define how you are going to identify red flags, and red flags in particular are those things that would lead you to believe that an identity theft has or is imminently going to happen. And these rules require you to create a program that identifies those red flags in your particular case or industry, and then to detect those red flags, respond to them if they actually happen, and then to keep a program updated to make sure that you are changing your particular program and your training program to keep up with changes in the law or changes in your particular industry as well. So effectively what red flags are is what they sound like. If you have a consumer who calls you in, and let's say a customer has been a client for 10 years and their average purchase is $20 a month, and suddenly one day they call and they say, I need to spend $2,000 today, that would be an indication potentially of something going awry, and that would be something that you would have to have a response for. So everything from suspicious documents that you get, you know, they don't match. If you have two social security numbers with two different names that come in, or you have somebody that's just acting suspiciously, these would all be red flags that you have to manage.
What does it mean to be compliant with these rules?
First of all, you need to do a workflow analysis of your organization and to identify where your potential data or personally identifiable financial information is residing, how it's coming into the organization, how it is being used and by whom, and why, and then what are the potential risks associated with that data. Once you've done that, you have to formulate a written policy that says who is going to have access to the information, how you're going to accept the information in what form, where you're going to store it and how you will secure it, and then, of course, what are you going to do to respond to any of the red flags that you have defined for your organization? Now, the federal government came up with 26 of their own, but they are by no means the limit. And so a couple of examples they've used would be unusual use or suspicious activity relating to a covered account. And the covered account would be any account where you've accepted credit information in order to extend or approve credit to that individual. And that credit, again, includes just simply putting them on terms or allowing them to pay on a monthly basis. Another one would be a notice from a customer that says, hey, you know, my identity's been stolen, or I think it may have been. So you have to have a plan that allows you to respond to that, and it has to be documented. You also must have a training program for your employees, because simply having a plan that is hidden in the executive offices that can be shown to an attorney later on is not acceptable. This has to be a cultural understanding throughout your organization that not only does the company, but all of the employees have an obligation to protect people's private identities.
And what's the penalty for non-compliance?
The typical penalty has actually been assigned to state governments. The Federal Trade Commission doesn't have any penalties associated with it from the feds. What it does, though, is authorizes states to take action on behalf of their own residents and recover $1,000 per violation and recovery, recover of attorney's fees. It does, however, allow for the consumer to be entitled to recover actual damages sustained if something goes wrong. And then there's also a high potential for class action if something is particularly egregious, I guess would be the term to use.
When is the deadline for compliance with the red flag rules?
Okay, well, for those that are actual financial institutions, for example, bank, credit unions, etc., the rules are already in effect. There was an original announcement of compliance requirement for November 1 of last year, 2008. And then the FTC, in its infinite wisdom, realized that so few people in these non-institutional creditor organizations didn't even realize they needed to be in compliance, so they extended it to May 19th, which, when that date approached, they went, okay, we're still not there yet, so they extended it to August 1. Every indication is that that deadline is going to remain, and August 1 is the drop-dead date for being in compliance. I think something that's important to point out is most people are not paying attention, or most organizations, including many of the technical advisors or trusted advisor types that are VARs and consultants, are confused about the fact that you don't have to be a bank or a mortgage broker to be covered under these regulations. All you have to be is a creditor. And in fact, the FTC just released probably within the last few weeks, because people like us have sent in requests for clarity, and it says, in effect, and this is straight from the FTC, as a practical matter, the rule applies to you if you provide products or services and then bill the customer later. That's all that is required for you to have this.
So where do solution providers come in? Is the most important role that they have to preach the importance of red flag rules compliance, or to demonstrate how technology and services can enable compliance?
Well, I would say it's a little of both, because I don't want to get caught in the corner of saying that technology is the solution when, in fact, physical process, meaning hard copy documents, the way you accept it, you know, handwriting information on a piece of paper and then throwing it in a trash can, things like that are all part of a compliance program. But here's the way I see it. Value-added resellers and other trusted advisors, and we hear this term throughout the industry a lot, if you are going to be a trusted advisor, you need to come to that client who's trusting you to advise them on their obligations, especially as it relates to technology, because a very large proportion of identity theft does occur through attacks on networks or through failure to protect data via the network. So first of all, this is a huge opportunity, anybody who's involved in technology, to have real explanation or a real guiding set of rules in a way that most organizations haven't in the past. We've heard about Gramm-Leach, we've heard about HIPAA, we've heard about all of these laws, but they were very narrowly defined. And as a result, what we got was a lot of customers going, don't need to be in compliance, thank you very much, goodbye. Well, how many companies don't extend some sort of terms to their clients? So I think this is a pretty broad form deal. So now what do you get to do? You get to go in and help them understand what the program means. You can work with their HR department and their technology people and the executives to devise a plan, because, by the way, this plan also must be signed off by an executive team. There must be an assigned individual within the organization who is responsible for the program. This isn't something you just do once and it goes away. So that true trusted advisor could literally be making this a new offering for them, for their clients.
So since the red flag rules don't require any specific items or products or services, when you go in as a trusted advisor, what kinds of technologies or services can you highlight to help customers become compliant?
Well, I think data flow management, document control, access control, monitoring systems that monitor transactions and user access, intrusion prevention, of course, any of the systems that verify or test, one, the security, and two, the validity of a transaction is required just by minimum nature in this particular instance. So what I would suggest is that you look at anything that helps you to, one, control any access or transaction, and two, to audit or monitor those transactions and report on it. Those two main functions are the ones that the technology provider should be expected to be able to deliver in a case where a client needs to be compliant.
How can solution providers help customers with the written policy portion required by the red flag rules?
Well, that's really, and that's kind of where I think it takes a little bit of thought, because the written policy has to involve those four factors, which is identifying where the data is and what it is, identifying the risks or the red flags, and then having a remediated plan that allows you to do that. So that policy should include those three things. For the smaller companies, and I mean really small companies that are considered to be at a low risk, the FTC has actually put together a template that you can find on the FTC website, and you can even search the term in Google, I believe, that says FTC Red Flags Template, and it's an interview form. It's quite simple, actually, to develop that written policy, and then that written policy becomes a guiding document for the technology implementation and the physical process changes that are needed, whether it be changing of employee work role definitions, or you no longer leave the paper on the fax machine, or you don't throw it in the trash can, it has to be shredded, et cetera, et cetera.
Earlier you mentioned the possibility of class action suits against your customer companies. If solution providers have helped these customers with the red flag rules, is that something they can be implicated in as well?
Oh, there's no doubt that I believe that these new regulations, and by the way, it's not just FACTA, the federal government, frankly, while everybody seems to talk a lot about federal rules, like I said, whether it's Gramm-Leach or HIPAA or FACTA or any of the other regulations, with the exception of international trafficking in arms or import-export laws, most federal laws are pretty tame compared to the 45 state laws when it comes to your exposure. So you as the provider, especially if you even use the word trusted advisor in a document or security consultant or any of these things that imply a degree of professionalism and a minimum standard of action, if you are then run through the mill of a civil lawsuit, or they, let's say a customer relies on you as your security provider, and frankly it's implied, if you sell them a firewall, unless you tell customers this is only one component of a multi-layered security approach and you need to be doing the following 20 things, they are going to assume that you have given them the best advice that they should have. If there's a breach or a lawsuit, I'm willing to bet a month's salary right now that you will be implicated because your name is on the contract regardless. The question isn't whether you're implicated and you need to defend yourself. The question is whether you will have a defensible position. And unless you have at least advised the clients to take these steps, you very well could be in a position of negligence or assumed negligence and not be in a defensible position, and you may find a claim against your insurance or whatever if you actually have it. If not, to give you an example, I mean, some of the claims we've seen, the Attorney General group recently got together in the TJ Maxx case. I don't know if you saw that, but it was a $9.5 million fine. If you are a provider that's managing that technology with TJ Maxx, you can bet that TJ Maxx is going to try to recover some of that debt from you. I mean, that's just the way it works. It's the nature of lawsuits, right? I don't know that the government would have any implication against you, but I know that the civil claims certainly are a problem. Now, the other thing I'm glad you asked that, most of the rules, including the FACTA red flags rules, do require that you not only certify yourself, but that you certify any of your partners or associated or affiliated companies that are sharing or using or providing data to you, that they too are red flags compliant. So it's a tentacle extension that goes way beyond the borders of your own company.
And finally, what's the red flag rules window of opportunity for solution providers? How strong is the need now compared to how it'll be a year or 2 years down the road from now?
Well, that's a good question. There's two ways you can look at that. The narrow window between now and August, of course, is significant. For those companies that really care and that are genuinely concerned about just being in compliance for being in compliance sake, is very narrow and quite deep, I think. The second half of that, though, I believe is going to extend over a period of time because, as we've seen with rules like HIPAA, which, by the way, they just came out with a whole new set of rules and extreme penalties as part of the American Reinvestment and Recovery Act that I have yet to find a VAR that also knew about those. But the window is going to be longer as a result of the fact that most people don't take action until they either see a preponderance of evidence that there's enforcement or that they see like-minded or like-business-type people with a similar profile being caused pain as a result of not complying. So I think to answer your question, it could be quite a long time. One, most people don't know about it. Two, there hasn't been any significant announced enforcement or civil action yet. When we see that, I think we will see a pretty dramatic move towards this. My opinion is that this is so different, and there are so few people in the technology industry that even know these rules exist. This is the opportunity to differentiate yourself by becoming a true expert in these regulations and being able to tell the client, here's the things that you need to comply with, and here's how you're going to do it, and here's how we're going to help you do it in addition to the technology.
That's all I have for today. Thanks for joining us, Kevin.
Thank you so much.
For more information on any other regulatory compliance issues, please visit searchsecuritychannel.com. This has been Patrolling the Channel for July 2009. Thanks for listening.